This is Rabbi Reuven Greenwald, Director of Israel Engagement, JTS, and Hebrew Union College Jewish Institute of Religion, an initiative funded by UJ Federation of New York. Parshat Shlachacha, 5776, The Gift of Challah. 18 cups flour, 5 eggs, yeast, warm water, oil, honey, salt. Punch the dough down and let it rise for 10 minutes before doing the mitzvah of separating challah. Say the blessing, separate a small piece of dough, and set it aside to burn after the challah loaves have finished baking. Divide the dough, roll into strands, braid the strands. If you're a challah baker like I am, you know that all your measuring, kneading, and hours of checking on rising dough are totally worth it when, after the hamotzi at the Shabbat table, your family and friends let out a collective ah. When that fluffy, sweet piece of bread melts in their mouths, they know it's really Shabbos. Challah's ritual journey begins in Parshat Shlach Lecha, and it has nothing to do with Shabbat at all. Like the challah braids, there's a twisted root between a cherished home ritual and a Torah mitzvah contained in barely 5 verses. How this mitzvah survived the destruction of the temple and was even exported into the diaspora, unlike most of the Torah's Land of Israel-based mitzvot, is a source for renewed spiritual texture in an already rich experience. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the Israelite people and say to them, when you enter the land to which I am taking you and you eat of the bread of the land, you shall set some aside as a gift to the Lord. As the first yield of your baking, you shall set aside a round loaf, challah, as a gift. You shall set it aside as a gift like the gift from the threshing floor. You shall make it a gift to the Lord from the first yield of your baking throughout your generations." Numbers 15:17-21. Farm to table is an apt description of how the challah mitzvah fits into the overall system of agricultural first offerings described throughout the Torah. Although human-made, ultimately bread is of the land, and in gratitude you shall set some aside as a gift to the Lord. There's a bit of theological tension here. The early 19th century Hasidic master Rabbi Mordechai Yosef Lehner, in his Torah commentary Mehashlich Shiloach, resolves this by explaining the same tension where it's found in Birkat HaMotzi, the blessing over the bread. Although human power does the labor, God's power makes possible the raw ingredients. This is the truth claim we assert when we bless God who brings forth bread from the land. Mea Shiloach, Parsha Truma. Environmentalists might see this as a terribly wasteful relic of an ancient religious cult, imagining thousands of moldy loaves sitting in a sanctuary pile for the Levites to take out to the trash. Within the biblical context, we can find here a theological respect for food when we understand the challah mitzvah as part of the system for restocking the priestly food pantry. See Numbers 18:12-13 and Ezekiel 44:28-30. Temple service precluded the priests from being responsible for a territory and from being producers of their own food. The rest of the nation fed the service class, who in turn maintained the spiritual center. Following the Torah's language, when you enter the land to which I am taking you, the Mishnah's tractate challah limits this mitzvah, albeit with interesting permutations, to the land of Israel. However, later Jewish law takes the Talmudic line, the instruction, Torah of the mitzvah of challah should not be forgotten, out of its narrow context and made it into a far-reaching legal principle. See Talmud Bavli Brachot Bechorot 27a. Landedness as a defining character of the challah mitzvah is pushed aside in favor of its universal appeal. Thus, Rabbi Yosef Karo's foundational 16th century law code, the Shulchan Aruch, instructs, even though according to the Torah the mitzvah of challah is only for the land of Israel, nonetheless the sages decreed that challah should be separated even outside the land with the recitation of the blessing so that the mitzvah of challah would not be forgotten from the people Israel. I wonder if this opening up of halachic borders provides justification to the North American Jewish outdoor food and environmental education movement's desire to actualize the Torah's agricultural laws, such as the sabbatical year, on farms from rural Connecticut to Northern California. On the other hand, Aruch HaShulchan, a late 19th century code by Rabbi Yechiel Michael Epstein, teaches that this mitzvah is not like the other agricultural mitzvot that are tied to land ownership within the land. It's more egalitarian than that, as he writes. Everyone bakes bread. Surely the transcending of geography here goes a long way toward ensuring the Parsha's idea that challah is a mitzvah to be observed throughout your generations. Numbers 15:21. Except for today's DIYers who bake their own challah, the rest of us miss out on seeing bread production as a spiritual activity. Shabbat challah helps us reclaim this spirit for contemporary Jewish consciousness, even for the non-bakers among us. It's unclear why, over the centuries, challah, meaning rounded loaf, overtook all the other Hebrew words for bread to become the universal name of the two loaves of Shabbat bread, the two loaves that represent the double portion of manna delivered before Shabbat during the Exodus. I can think of kavanot to fill this interpretive void. Challah is technically the symbolic piece of burnt dough that no good Shabbat host would permit on the table. Extending the name challah to the shiny loaves on the table as well, we take our place as egalitarian members of the kingdom of priests and elevate our homes to the status of sanctuary. Challah's origins as first yield of the baking and as gift to the Lord teach us to dafka think beyond ourselves and our own needs, while the home setting suggests that bonding and intimacy are the primary modes of engagement at a Shabbat meal. Like in the project Challah for Hunger, which donates proceeds from sales of fresh challah to serve the needy, you might consider putting aside the cost of challot as staka to help provide food to those who have trouble procuring it for themselves. After all, challah was originally designed to feed a class of people who, for different reasons, had no direct access to bread and other foodstuff. That feels to me like a gift to God. Shabbat Shalom.